I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni, and we've got the second part with of this episode with Chris Baldwin, who has been on a meteoric rise in the speaking world. And if you haven't checked out the first part of this two-part series, then I highly recommend. There is some absolute gold nuggets in there for everyone who is an aspiring or currently successful speaker to be able to leverage and grow really effectively. Some really, really awesome things that I've actually taken down myself that I'll be moving forward. So welcome back, Chris.
Thanks, Victor. Thanks for having me back.
I wanted to touch on today. We spoke about last week your different mindsets, and we could only really just touch on them. So I wanted to deep dive a bit more into, you said you got seven mindsets of a speaker, and I'd love it if you could share with our audience either all of those or whatever you have the time to share with us with.
Yeah, so, you know, when I started as a professional speaker, literally trying to build a career through speaking, or at least use speaking as a vehicle, as a medium to build a business, to build a consultancy, to build whatever's behind the speaking, because it's never about speaking itself. Speaking is just a channel on how to communicate. It's about, you know, why are you speaking in the first place? And you know, I decided, I'm a strategist, and I like, I understand that life is all about choices. You know, there's only two things you have to do in life. You can't get out of two things. And one of them is die. We all have to die. And, you know, there are Silicon Valley startups trying to solve for that problem. Yeah. You know, eventually we're going to be uploading the cloud and be immortalized and all of that.
Yeah.
And the other one is make choices. You can't get out of making choices. And even if you don't choose, you're still making a choice. You're choosing for someone else to choose for you. Mm. And that my TED talk is actually the choice is yours. It's all about this. It's all about the choices we make when we adopt the technology into our lives and our organizations. And this is our choice. You know, we complain about Facebook taking too much of our time, but it's our choice to spend time on Facebook. And when you can start to realize that everything comes down to choices, then sort of what turned into my head was, if I can choose, most of the time when we slow down, it's our inability to choose. And so we outsource that to somebody else, and then that makes us unhappy because someone else is controlling us. But what if we could actually have a framework, a decision-making framework that helps us choose very quickly? Do I say yes? Do I say no? Do I go left? Do I go right? And then all of a sudden it becomes very clear, and you get clarity in your mind, and you know that whatever choices you make, it adheres to these values, these beliefs that you have. And so I developed these seven mindsets as a decision-making framework to help me move quickly. And I'll cover them. There's seven. There's a big story behind each of them. So just feel free to pop in and ask any questions as we're going through them. You know, the first one is really identifying who is the customer, who is your client as a speaker. And I think that's where most speakers that I've spoken to, at least the starting ones, have it the wrong way around. They think it's the audience, but the audience has got nothing to do with it. The audience is the product. The audience is a product. You're delivering information into their heads in order to make them better, in order to drive results in their business, in their lives. It's the product you're creating. Your client, your customer, is the event producer. It's the event manager. It's the event coordinator. It's the people putting on the event. They are the ones paying you the money. And so the first mindset is make the event manager's life as easy and pleasant as possible. Literally, make them happy. Like make their life so easy and so pleasant that they have no choice but to invite you back. They have no choice but to recommend you to other event managers. I mean, I want them to say, Chris is a dream to work with. If you need a speaker, just call Chris. Like, no problem. He'll do it. Mm. And what happens? That's exactly what happens. They call me back. I get to speak at their other events. I get to speak again in year two, in year three. And it's one of the events I'm speaking. I've just spoken the third year, and I was the MC for the event. And it's the largest digital marketing event in the Netherlands. So, and there's another thing to it, but I can't actually release that because that's actually pretty confident. But there is like a step way above that. But I just can't say it. Sorry. So make the event manager's life as easy and pleasant as possible. And that is my first mindset. My second mindset is make your speaker agent as successful as possible, because your speaker agent has a much larger network than you do. And generally, when speakers don't turn up at events, you know, they get caught up in traffic, flights get canceled, they get sick, and all sorts of things happen. And so you need to be top of mind, both for the event manager, right? They can call you last minute, you'll come in, but also for your speaker agent, because event managers, if they don't know you yet, they'll call an agent, because agents have a large network of speakers. And so you want to be top of mind for your agent. You need to be in those, generally an agent will propose three speakers, but you need to be so good for them that they actually cancel the other two. All they'll do is propose you, because you've got this mindset, make your speaker agent as successful as possible. This comes from, I talk about meaningful connections a lot. In the last episode, we covered that, you know, how to build meaningful connections, and really, really trust is the big thing now. I mean, there's trust and respect are the two key components of a relationship, and building trust is so critical now in this digital ecosystem where people aren't trusting anybody. Mm-hmm. And you build trust by one simple thing, and that is by acting in the other person's best interest. That's how you build trust. So if you act in your agent's best interest, you develop trust with them, and they'll just simply, there is no choice here. It's you are the speaker they will present. And the event manager will see, oh my God, he's just given me one. Yeah, because that is who I want to speak there. And it just all works out when you have this mindset. Mm. And you can see I'm when I say this, I really mean it. Like, it's not just words. Like, literally, you will travel across the other side of the world and catch a flight within 30 minutes. Like every choice has a trade-off. Like, every choice has a trade-off. The bigger the trade-off, the bigger the choice. And so when you don't have to make a trade-off, there is no choice being made. And sometimes the trade-off is quite big. You know, you might have to leave your family behind. You might have to lose a big piece of business. Like, one of them was, I had the choice between a free gig and a $20,000 gig. And I chose the free gig. I left $20,000 on the table. But I didn't just leave it on the table. Now, I had $20,000 of value that I gave to my agent. I said, hey, I have a gig here. It can pay $20,000. I have to do another gig. It's 6 hours away. It was on the same day. It was a 6 hour It was a 6 hour drive. I basically couldn't make both events. And so I went to my agent. I said, hey, how about you take this and find another speaker for it? I can recommend one. And I did. And he got the gig, and my agent got a 25% commission. How does that make my agent feel? Yeah. Like, that's crazy, right? And like that sort of stuff. But sometimes you have to make a trade-off, you know, when you make a choice.
And I think one of the big things there is, you make your agent, you make the event organizer, you know, the top priority. And it's human nature is take the path of least resistance. So if they know that, all right, I'm going to put Chris or I'm going to put Victor Ford, he's going to say, no problem. He's going to turn up. He's going to do a good job. I know that there's going to be no kickbacks. And I know, as in, like, yeah, there's not going to be the event organizer blowing up because he didn't perform on the stage, or he was a drama queen backstage, or, you know, there was all these logistical issues or whatever it is. It's like, I know once I've sent that person, they're going to do an awesome job. They're going to get repeat business. It makes my life easier. Like, yeah, they don't care if you're the person on Shark Tank who's the most sought after person. If you're going to make their life a bane, they're like, oh, this is too hard. Or, yeah, they're going to have to go back and forth with 7 emails saying, can you actually move them to the third day instead of the first day and all the, because it's, they just want their, they want to put someone that's going to reflect them well, but they also want someone that, okay, here's this name. You should take them. They're going to be great. Thanks for my commission. That's awesome. Everyone's happy. You know, happy days. And that's why I really liked when you said the no problems guy, because, you know, I even remember, you know, working in, say, physiotherapy clinics years ago, and I always went by the thing of, don't make the reception or the front desk staff jobs hard. Like, don't be the person who throws something, you know, a spanner in the works for no thing, because they make your life easier exponentially, yeah, if you make it. And it was always the case. I was never the one that they were like, oh, this person, you know, I don't like Victor, he's a pain. They're always like, oh, Victor, we put this new patient in with you, you know, and they're always going to choose you because they know you've given them a good experience. So yeah, but I'll let you carry on. I just wanted to add that that path of least resistance, I find always ends up trumps.
Absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about resistance, what are you talking about? You're talking about problems that get in your way, challenges, obstacles. That's what causes the resistance. So if you can solve that for them, you create flow and you make their life easier and you make their life pleasant. And then you basically become, you don't even become a consideration point anymore. You become the only option for them. And over time, that builds a personal brand. Over time, you start to become known as this person. And over time, what happens is that they'll gladly pay you a premium. They'll gladly refer you to other events. So from doing one event for 5,000, literally with these mindsets, that can become 500,000 over the next 2 years, or 50,000 over the next 2 years. Let's not go too outrageous here. Not Tony Robbins yet. but you can literally 10x whatever you're doing. And over time, you know, you need to give it time. That means you need patience. You can't get everything all at once. Sometimes it's a journey you're on, and it's a funnel you have to, you know, go through in a pragmatic way. First, you need to brand yourself. And then over time, as you deliver on that promise, well, your fees will go up and people will gladly pay you and gladly refer you. And most of the speaking isn't actually done from the speaking fee. I'll speak often for free now, because most of the money you make isn't from the speaking engagement itself. It's from the relationships you create through that engagement. So going to the third mindset, and again, we're going to hammer it in. Always have a no problems attitude. Or was that the one we just covered?
Yeah, that was the one we just covered.
Cool.
Definitely worth covering twice.
The fourth one is go for the emotional connection. And this is really important, because people actually don't remember what you say. They won't even remember what you do. People remember how you made them feel. And because feelings give rise to emotions, and it's emotions that makes memory stick. Emotions are the glue that makes memory stick. Unless you make people emotional about the content you're delivering, they won't remember you. They won't remember what you said. They won't remember the message. It'll all be forgotten. And then that will not create any sort of exponential nature in the work that you do. So the more emotional you make people, the more memory retention there is, and the more chance there is that they will act on whatever you said at a point in the future. You know, and that could be sharing you on social media. It could be liking you. It could be actually doing what you just said, stuff like that. It could be inviting you back to speak again. It could be inviting you in as a consultant or a trainer in their organization when the opportunity turns up. So go for the emotional connection. And one of the only real way to go for qualitative emotional connections, because you can also take people on emotional roller coaster rides, and that sometimes isn't good for anybody. Like, it's just, it depends what the intent is in the connection you're trying to make. But one of the simple ways to do it is simply through storytelling. you know, storytelling is the way we've been communicating since the Dark Ages, since before the internet. Since it's crazy to think that there was a time before the internet, but you know, around the radio, around the fire, we're storytelling creatures. And so when you bring stories to the stage, people connect with that and they relate to it. And one of the things I say when I'm giving speaker trainings is it's really about how do you make people feel when they hear you speak. This is a key question you need to ask yourself. How do I want other people to feel when they hear me speak? Because feelings give rise to emotions. And so in order to make someone feel inspired, for example, you really want to inspire them. And so in order to do that, all you do is identify a story in your life that's really inspired you and tell that in a compelling way, and they will be inspired. They will, if you feel inspired, they will start feeling inspired. And the same works in reverse. For example, if you're nervous on stage, well, guess how they're going to feel? They're going to feel nervous. So people feel what you feel. This is at the core of great public speaking. People feel what you feel. And so what is the feeling that should be synonymous with you? Like for me, for example, it took me a while to develop this, but there are three feelings or emotions that are synonymous with me. And one of them is presence. I want people to feel present in the room. It goes even deeper than attention. You know, we're in an attention economy and you need people's attention, but attention is fragmented now and they might be looking and listening to you, but they're thinking about something else in their mind, right? But when they're present, they lose track of time. Like 1 hour becomes like 1 minute. It's like, holy shit, how did that go by so quickly? When they're present. And in order for people to feel present, you need to feel present. The other one is, I want to inspire. So in order for them to feel inspired, I need to feel inspired. So identify a story that makes me feel that way. The other one is I've forgotten it. Hang on a second. I really hate that. See, sometimes when you're telling a story, you get so deep into your story, you forget the next one, which happens on stage sometimes. And often you can just ask the audience, where was I? And they'll cue you up and you can go to the next story. But I think it's literally escaped me, the word at least. Anyway, I'll move on. So go for the emotional connection. And that is my fourth mindset. The fifth mindset is actually live an interesting life, because it's through an interesting life you collect interesting stories. And speaking is all about storytelling. And the more powerful your story, the more relatable your story is, the more fresh, the more relevant your story is, the more powerful the point will be that you make through those stories. So in order to collect stories, live an interesting life. And you know, this is something that that can become quite intense sometimes, because you're living life collecting stories. So you're seeing life through a different lens. You're seeing life through a stage. Like, you know, life's a stage. It's Hamlet, right? Life's a stage, and you're the actor, you're the director, but you're never the writer, because you share your stories with other people. And so you have the ability to act out your stories. You have the ability to direct them through your choices. But you don't have the ability to write them completely, because other people share in them. And so when you understand this and you're living your life, it's basically anytime there's an emotion, you're in a story. And so how do you want that story to end? What story do you want to be telling later from the stage? And how do you need to act now in order to be able to tell that story in an authentic way?
Yeah.
And so live an interesting life. And so that's basically one of the mindsets. So if I have a choice to do something interesting, bam, I'm on it. I don't say no.
Yeah, I think one of the other things is document, like to add to that, is document those interesting stories, even if it's just in your phone when you're walking along, because often we not necessarily forget the stories, but you know, you can walk around and you go, oh, that was something funny happened. But then it's a story and you can actually give that genuine funniness across in your story that you might think, oh God, nothing's funny's happened to me. I haven't got any funny stories, or I haven't got something that necessarily resonates that. But yeah, if you've got a folder or a file that you can just drop into your phone and, you know, jot down as a memory jogger of, oh, that story. Oh yeah, that's a perfect, yeah, perfect analogy or something that would perfectly highlight that particular point. And I think it's always good to have that kind of story and you know,
absolutely, yeah,
the joke bank as well.
So that's story journaling. That's one of the components that I teach in the trainings that I give. And it's story journaling is critical. You know, when like those ideas that you have often in the shower or at the gym or on a run, and 5 minutes later, you completely lost it. Like, what was it again? You know, it's just lost. And so you need to journal when you get these ideas, when you know you're in a story and all of a sudden you've got this great metaphor, great point, note it down. So I use Evernote for that and have a hold of really active story journal in Evernote. By the way, I just remembered the third thing.
Yeah, hit us. Tell us.
That was, I have to. That was energize. And energize because that's, you know, when you think about it, you're at an event. And you need to be present, right? Presence. That's what a speaker wants. That's what the audience wants. We're here. We've taken time out of our day. It's really about the now. It's in the event. And with social media now, you're hyper-connected. You can easily go onto your phone and go into your email and go into business calls, and you're not present anymore. The second one was inspire. And that's really about, what are you going to do tomorrow? You know, what are you going to do? Why are you here? And what can this mean for your life, for your business? And inspire them to take some sort of, to change something in the future, right? And the third one is energize. And this was, I chose this word because people need energy to change. You know, it's often like, I know I need to be doing this, but, and it's not even motivation. It's not even motivation, because motivation is acquired through the development of progress. You need progress to get motivated. You don't need to motivate people. Progress motivates people. In order to get progress, you need to take action. And so that's why this third word, energize, is that I want people to try something different tomorrow. That's why most of my keynotes start with think different. It starts with thinking different and then doing differently. And that's how you change things. And for that, you need energy. For that, you need courage. For that, you need to be able to do stuff. And so I want people to feel energized. I want people to feel like when they leave this event, they're going to take notes. They're going to start changing something immediately. So those are the three feelings I want to be synonymous with when I open my mouth. It's simple as that. Like, keep this simple. It's not rocket science. So going back to the mindsets, the sixth one is always finish on time.
Yeah.
And I've been branded now as a speaker that finishes on the second. And I literally finish on the second. I take that too far sometimes by literally finishing on the second. And I did that back in December and I didn't like what I did. I actually looked at the people, look at the clock, and I'm telling the sentences. They know I finish on time, and I was looking at them. And then it wasn't about the audience anymore. It was about finishing on time. And I just took it a little bit too far. So now I learned from that and I quickly iterated. But always finish on time, because when you don't, you create a problem for the event manager. You create a problem for the audience, because there are follow-up sessions. There are people have stuff to do. And who are you to take an extra 2 minutes or 5 minutes of their time? Times 1,000, by the way, if there's 1,000 people in the room.
Yeah.
And so always finish on time. On the second, if you can, within a few seconds, like 10, 15 second margin, it is the maximum I'll give myself. And this comes really from my dad. Like, he died last November. That's a story in itself. I won't cover it just now, but it's a story relating to speaking. And he, you know, I grew up in Vanuatu, and those islands can be pretty small. He was chief pilot of Vanuatu Airlines for 26 years. So he was flying around all these islands. I flew with him a lot. And some of these airstrips span the whole length of the island, like from one side to the other. That is the airstrip. It's grass. And so when he lands those planes, he has to land exactly on time. If he lands 30 seconds too early, he lands in the ocean.
Yeah.
If he lands 30 seconds too late, he lands in the ocean. He needs to land exactly on time. And so I took that mindset with me to speaking. Always finish on time. Otherwise, you create a problem for everybody, including yourself.
Yeah, and I've even seen the kind of sales fest events where everyone's spruiking a product, or 80% of the people are. It's up to $5,000 a minute when you go over.
Yeah,
and I've seen some of the like success resources who are doing their world tour with Gary Vee and Grant Cardone at the moment. It's $5,000 for every minute you are over at those events. So definitely do not go over anyway, because you got to respect everybody's time and everyone, the other speaker's time and the audience's and the event organizer's time. So brilliant. And what's our seventh mindset?
So the seventh one is and this was I don't know if you've heard of Eric Edmeades.
Nah, run us through.
Look him up. I think he's probably the best speaker in the world. Like, literally, depends your style. It depends, but he's to me the best speaker in the world, the best storytelling speaker in the world, and most of these mindsets actually come from a training I did with him. I'm partnered with him now, so we're business partners. But he left me with this mindset a year ago, and it was a mindset. I've finished most of my keynotes on this particular quote, and that is, be so good they can't ignore you. And, this is like, it slices through the heart of everything. Be so good they can't ignore you. Like, as a speaker, be so good they can't ignore you. Like, people will seek you out from the audience. Event managers will seek you back again. Companies will want you to speak at their events because you're so good they can't ignore you anymore. They have to share you. They have to recommend you. They have to help you on this journey. And this isn't about arrogance, Sometimes when you tell it to the Americans, they love it. And when you tell it to the Dutch, which is quite a humble audience, I'll go, oh, settle down. In Australia, it's like, we need to trim this guy down to size, right? No, this isn't about arrogance. This is about being the best version of you. This is about being you and being the best version of what you can be. You can't be anybody else and nobody else can be you. And what is public speaking? What is being a speaker really? What are you being paid for?
Selling.
You're being paid for being yourself. Hmm. No, as a speaker, you're being paid for being yourself. Actually, it's the only career in the world where they pay you excessive amounts of money to just be yourself. Because who do you love as a speaker on stage? Someone that delivers a powerful message in an authentic way, where you can just relate to that person, you can believe them, you can trust them, you understand who they are, and all you want is to help them on this journey and to connect with them at a future time, right? Because they're being so good, you can't ignore them. And all they're doing is being themselves. So this quote is really about being the best version of yourself. And that is what people respect. And if you can do that, you will gain respect from the audience and you will inspire them to take action. You will inspire them maybe even to do speaking themselves. And, the opposite of that is being an actor. That is the career path where you get paid excessive amounts of money not to be you. You're acting out somebody else. But acting and speaking, when you're on opposite ends, they come together. Sometimes you're putting up a show up there, but you're putting up a show in an authentic way where you're just having fun being yourself and having fun being the best version of yourself. And that takes courage. It takes courage. And one of the things that really changed it for me, and it was a quote. It's a quote I use in most of my keynotes now, and it's the 18-40-60 rule. Have you heard of it?
No.
It comes from Jack Canfield. It's in his Success Principles. It's one of the Success Principles, and it stuck with me. It's like, at 18 years old, all you care about is what other people think of you, self-image. When you turn into your 40s, you don't give a damn what anybody thinks of you. And when you turn 60, you realize nobody's been thinking of you at all. And that's like crazy. We spend so much time and so much energy worrying what other people think of us when they're not. And so what if we could spend that time and energy actually figuring out what we want and doing the stuff to help us get it? And if in the unlikely event someone was actually genuinely thinking about you, then wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Isn't that what we all want? So I don't worry about what other people think of me. I really don't care. But I care deeply as to why they think those things. Because now that's information for me to improve and be the best version of myself. And that this is this last mindset, and it's a keynote on its own, And it's very, very powerful when you can dig into what these words actually mean to you as a speaker. And you can interpret it the wrong way. You can be arrogant up there. So you got to be careful with this one. Be so good they can't ignore you is really about being the best version of yourself so that they, you build trust and respect with the audience, and all they want to do is seek you out a second time.
That's brilliant. Well, I think that is all. Yeah, I'd highly recommend for everybody, rewind this, listen to it again. Jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, grab the show notes, write them down, and more importantly, check out Chris, because he's walking the walk and talking the talk at the moment. I've been following your social media. I've been, you know, seeing all of these things when we were leading up to this episode, and your website, and everything you've talked about, you're out there doing. You're in the trenches. This stuff is working at the moment. And yeah, just like building the confidence to speak, yeah, having a framework and systems for any part, whether you're learning to speak, whether you're learning to scale, whether you're learning to take it to the next level, having those frameworks and those systems that, you know, allow you to make those decisions and be authentic to yourself and, you know, do what you feel is best for you to take the next step is super important. So I thank you so much for sharing that. And I just want to welcome you to our Speaker Nation family. If people want to find out more about you, what you've been up to, and follow along on your journey, where can they go and what can they do?
So the best place is for me is LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And I document a lot of the stuff. I share a lot of the stuff. Actually, most of the time now I'm usually the opening keynote speaker or the host moderator, and I get access to pretty well unlimited tickets. So if you follow me, there's an event in Amsterdam coming up next month where I've got VIP passes, pretty well unlimited passes, except for the room only takes 1,000 people. So once we go over that, we won't be able to take any more. But generally, I'll give out a lot of free passes, so that'll be an opportunity for you to also meet me, and for me to introduce you to the event producer, which may score you a gig in the future.
There you go, everyone. Meaningful connections. Well, we will leave it at that. I'll link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. All the links back to all your different social media platforms and ways to get in touch and follow you. But appreciate all your time. You've been super generous with this two-part episode. If you ignored me at the start of this and you haven't gone back to listen to the first one, then I highly recommend you do. And I'm sure you are now more than sold on the message to go back and check that last episode out. But thanks again, Chris. And it's I look forward to touching base when we're in the same part of the world, wherever that may be.
Yeah, Victor, it's been a pleasure. And I know we're on opposite sides of the world, but it's been a pleasure, you know, reconnecting with an Aussie down under, mate. And hopefully we'll get to shake hands sometime soon.
Look forward to it. Cheers.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.